It's the third date, the sex date. You had an amazing time at dinner. She's back at your place. You're sharing a bottle of wine. You got the music playing. You're making out. You feel excited. You're so turned on. But then the dread comes. What happens when she sees my dick? Will it be pleasure? Will it be disappointment? There are few things that feel so vulnerable to men as being evaluated by their penis size. So what can you do in this situation? Today you're going to find out. I'm your host, Ari Graf, and I'm joined with my co-host, Chuck and Faisal. The three of us are certified No More Mr. Nice Guy coaches and are dedicated to helping men become the best versions of themselves. So, Faisal, have you ever experienced that dread?
That dread I knew.
Is it big enough?
I knew this, this was coming to me. You know, when you were talking about, you know, it's like a third date or something, and then you're getting intimate. And this thought has, you know, it's really weird. When I've gotten more into personal development, more self-aware, self-conscious, it's become more of a problem. And I was looking back, and it started to cause a lot of anxiety in my, say, intimacy. And the more I've become more self-aware, and I guess porn didn't help as well, you know, where you're seeing guys with, you know, huge mammoth thing, and you're going, wow. And a lot of insecurities did start coming up. And I remember that has been time where I was with this girl, and we were having a really hot, intimate time. And suddenly, as she got closer to me, and then her hand started moving towards, you know, my private gentleman bits, my anxiety came up. I was like, is it going to be good enough for her? What's she going to think about it? And that moment, I just kind of pulled away. And as soon as I pulled away, I felt like a lot of shame come up, a lot of sexual shame and fractures came up. And she's like, are you okay? And I was like, yeah, I'm not feeling too good. And I just made up some excuse just to avoid, you know, getting more intimate. And she couldn't sense that, you know, there was something wrong. And what happened was that she felt this rejection. And she felt this rejection, and then she became really cold, and then she became really angry at this rejection. And little did she know what was actually going on. I didn't have the courage to speak up and say, actually, I'm not feeling good about myself. I don't want to share my inadequacies, that actually I'm feeling really insecure about myself. So
did you say your penis has a headache?
Yeah, well, something like that. But I just felt like, yeah, it's not there. And I can see, you know, reflecting back on that, and I just kept thinking about, okay, well, is it good enough? Because I know a lot of in the men's world, you know, guys are saying, you know, I've got a big thing, and I've got, you know, and I'm thinking there, going, well, is it big enough? And I look back at it, and there I am measuring myself and thinking, oh gosh, it's average. And you know, this is, you know, she's probably seen much bigger and better. And then how am I going to, you know, how am I going to perform, or how am I going to measure up to, you know, the guys that she's had experiences with, and what is she going to be thinking? So all of those things started to go on, and that's the perfect storm to kill any kind of sexual attraction.
So what happened after that?
Well, I just went back to bed and started crying. I didn't cry, but I just had some self-reflection. And she stayed over as well. So she was staying over because she was traveling. But there was a lot of tension between us. And I just felt really bad because I had rejected her, not on the cases of her, but actually my inadequacy. And I didn't have the guts at that time to have the courage to explain what it was. So
you're bringing up an important point, is that it's how we handle our anxieties and sort of accept what we have. That's so critical.
Yeah. It was all in my head. It wasn't anything to do with her, but she didn't know that, you know, because had I had now, I would have the courage to, you know, to say actually what's going on. You know, I've done enough work to say, hey, actually, what, I'm feeling quite stressed here. You know, sometimes when performance issues come up, and you know, they do come up because you've had a tough day, and then you're able to have a dialogue. I have no hang-ups about being able to have a dialogue if I'm not performing well, or if something's going on, or something that, you know, didn't go well. I'd be like, hey, this is the situation. And it's unbelievable how women are understanding about it, because you're able to connect to that. I wouldn't say all women are, but I would say majority, I said 95% of women, when you're honest about it, they're great. Some women are, okay, they just get closed and want to leave. Enough about me. What about you guys?
Chuck, have you ever experienced that dread?
Yeah, certainly. I think that it's a natural thing for us guys, especially like Faisal was saying, you know, with the porn. And, you know, decades ago, people didn't have as many sex partners, you know, as we do today. And so you're left wondering, you know, you're not the first, you know, you're probably not even the second or third, you know, how many other guys has she been with? Have they been better? Have they been bigger? How do I perform? And I think that it's a natural thing to have a lot of anxiety around this. But again, it goes back to, you know, your attitude about yourself. You know, I jokingly will say to guys, it's not your dick size, it's the problem. It's the problem is you're going after women who have huge vaginas. You know, if you would just stop going after women who have huge vaginas, you would be just fine, you know. And
I got to interrupt. you know, Ted Danson, the actor.
Yeah.
I think he was married to Whoopi Goldberg. Uh-huh. And he said that sex with her was like throwing a hot dog down a hallway.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, we don't think about like, oh my God, she's got this huge vagina. You know, no wonder I can't measure up, so to speak. And I think a lot of, you know, I'll hear women on social media or something like, I won't go out with a guy unless he's at least 8 inches, you know, something along those lines. And I'm thinking, my God, woman, how big is that thing that you got to go out with some guy who's like, you know, in the, you know, the 1 or 2 percentile. But joking-ish, that if it is that big of a deal to the woman you're with, then like you're with the wrong woman, because it's not about size. It's about connection and how do you connect. And if they're only interested in like having this crazy, wild, you know, sex with somebody who's got a 8-inch, 10-inch dick or whatever, like I just kind of go, what is it about her that needs that? What is her psyche? You know, where are her wounds and her trauma and things where that is the thing that's important to her? But I think guys hear that and then they say to themselves, oh gosh, you know, I'm average or maybe a little below average. And so I'm not going to measure up. Therefore, I'm going to, you know, be afraid of approaching women because, you know, now I think the thing that actually can be a bigger problem is when you get into that space and you have the anxiety and then you either, you know, you can't get an erection or you ejaculate too soon, you know, so all of these things are around this anxiety that we have about, you know, our member being good enough. And a lot of times we will tie our identity as men to that. So I think it's really about, you know, I can't, like, you know, it's sort of joke about this with guys, but it's like, would you rather drive a semi truck or a sports car? You know, like, top down, zipping around, moving in and out, maneuvering, or like, you know, like, let be good with the fact that, like, your dick is your dick and it's your dick and you can't do anything about it. You can't really change it any more than you can change your eye color. I mean, it's supposedly there's creams and lotions and stuff, or, you know, pumps or something that may or may not work. I never tried them. Don't know. That would be an interesting experiment. Maybe we should do that.
But, yeah. Report back after a few weeks.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, I think we put so much of our focus around this one particular part of our body that it becomes the thing that creates the anxiety, that creates the performance anxiety, and then it becomes this sort of self-fulfilling prophecy.
Becomes this enormous issue.
And so, you know, I've worked with guys who have had sexual, you know, I call this the sexual fracture part. And I've worked with guys on the opposite spectrum, where they are, you know, well generous in the penis department. You know, they have huge penis, and that what I noticed was that they have a lot of insecurities around it as well, especially when she doesn't feel like, fuck, you know, I'm really well hung, you know, great dick, great girth and everything, and then now she's satisfied. So that was a really interesting correlation. And I was dating this girl, and she was saying that, you know what, we were talking about everything, and we were talking about penis sizes as well. I don't know how we got to that conversation. And she was saying that what she noticed was that the guys who had the big dicks also had a lot of insecurities as well. You know, so it wasn't just the fact that guys with small dicks, but they had a lot of insecurities as well. What about you, Ari? What's going on down there?
So you're saying everybody can find a reason to be insecure.
I think that's
one of the points you're making.
Yeah. The thing is, to me, how I see it, insecurity is a psychological thing. You know, there are some guys, you know, who, you know, for example, like belly, like I get insecure about my belly, even though it's not, I don't have a sticking out belly, but I just have a bit of fat around it, which is kind of like normal. But to me, it's like, I don't like it. But you go in the sauna and there's guys out there with big body, just confident in themselves, right? And it's that confidence that people ooze, which is so magnetic, which is the part that's like, wow, this guy really owns himself. No matter what he has, you know, he can't control some aspects of his life, but the ones that he has, he just completely owns it. And that's the guy with the you know, penis envy or penis insecurities. He's not being able to be present and really satisfy a woman. But whereas a guy who's really comfortable, he says, look, I got what I got, and I'm going to do the best I can. And I've heard women say, you know, they're the best lovers because they're so comfortable in their own skin.
Yeah. So confidence may be more important than cock size.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, to answer the question, does size matter? It does to some women. I mean, I had a girlfriend a few years ago, and, you know, we had started having a sexual relationship, and she mentioned that her previous boyfriend was hung like a horse, and that got her to orgasm. And she kind of, you know, was saying that was necessary to get her to orgasm.
It's because she had a huge vagina.
She said, "My little pony ain't doing it for me."
So then, you know, it gave me a complex because I felt like I didn't have what I needed to get her to an orgasm. So, you know, I think it matters to some women. The question is, do you want a woman that's the most salient thing about you?
Exactly.
Like you said, Chuck was saying, it's about compatibility, sexual compatibility here. We need, you know, if someone has a huge vagina, as Chuck was saying, then you're not compatible with that, and she needs that stimulation. I know I've met girls who say size matters, and it's on both spectrums as well, because it's like sometimes the girls are complaining, I don't like it too big. It makes me uncomfortable. I cannot enjoy the experience. And some girls are saying, you know, the bigger, the better. Right. And there are some girls who are in the middle who says, you know, actually, the most important thing is, and in my experience, so I want to ask you this question as well, in your experience as well. In my experience, what I notice about, say, sex and intimacy, the more sexual fractured or the more trauma sexual she has, and also the man has, the more they need that extreme chemistry, then the extreme kind of like feeling in order to get a kick from it. So for example, when she needs a big cock or a dildo or something like that, she needs like a lot of pain or something like that in order to get that pleasure. I find when I delve into their background, there's a lot more sexual abuse or some sort of trauma on that. And this is the what I say is like the higher the need for chemistry, the more is hiding like trauma in the background. What is your experience in your, you know, work as, you know, coaches and psychologists?
That would align with, I think, some of the things just as in either personal experience or working with a lot of men over the years, and women too. You know, I've worked with a lot of women in my psychotherapy, and there's a lot of women out there who have been, you know, sexually molested when they were younger, raped, or have had some sort of sexual trauma with that. And I think that that's the part of, you know, having the more empathetic approach of this woman is, you know, she's not bad. She's not, you know, but it's like, we're not aligned in what I'm looking for with a partner. And one of the things that, you know, Dr. Glover talks about that I think is really important and key is that as nice guys, we tend to take responsibility for everyone else's feelings, emotions, and problems. And so we do the same thing when it comes to sex. We want to make sure she's taken care of. We want to make sure that she's having a great time. And we lose the focus on ourselves of whether or not we're having fun in this. And if you're not having fun, then there's something wrong. I think what has been helpful for me is one of the things he said was everyone is responsible for their own orgasm. Okay. She knows how to get herself off. She's well.
That's exactly right.
That. Yeah. And so it's not about whether or not you're able to get her off. It's about whether or not she's able to get herself off. She knows what she needs. She knows how to ask, you know, and I think that just takes a lot of pressure off us guys of like, okay, I don't actually have to perform here. This isn't a competition. This is a place for us to come and connect with pleasure. And the more I know about myself and the things that I like and the things that I want, the better lover I become, because I'm loving myself first and then I'm extending that to her. I'll be a generous lover, right? And like, it's up to you to tell me what you want and what you need. So I think that that's at least something that's been beneficial for me in the past, is just realizing like I am not responsible for anyone's orgasm but my own.
Yeah. I love that communication aspect of it, because the more you can communicate of what your likes and dislikes and the more you can create an environment and space where you guys can openly talk about it. Because in my early, I would say, years, I had a lot of sexual shame around this, sexual fractures around this. And so I'd be embarrassed to talk about, you know, I'd be embarrassed to talk about sex in when I was growing up in my culture and things like that. You don't talk about sex. Yeah. You don't talk about your needs and your desires and masturbation and you wouldn't talk about that. So it was just at the, you know, very early on, it was just an act done. And if you had a, you know, mishap or something, or, you know, you couldn't get it up or you came too quickly or something like that, you kind of like brush it under the carpet and just carry on. It's like, oh, okay, nothing happened about it. But now if you can communicate about, hey, sometimes this happens. Sometimes this happens. Sometimes because I'm stressed. Sometimes I'm thinking about this. Sometimes I won't respond to your advances because I'm feeling like this. Sometimes, and I like Dr. Glover's, one of the rules, and one of the rules was that, his last rule was that, you know, whatever you say about, you know, intimacy and sex, I won't take it personally. You know, and that gives such a great opening to have openness as well. And it takes some work for her as well, because I've been with girls that where I've been, you know, open about sexually, but they haven't worked through their sexual shame. So they'll just withhold. And I can tell that, you know, there's something that they don't like, or there's something that they want in the bedroom, but they're not saying that. And it takes sometimes a long time for them to become, you know, I said, non-avoidant about it.
Right. So attractive when you have a partner who's connected to their body, connected to their own sexuality, and can express what they want. So I love what you guys said. You know, take responsibility for your own pleasure and your own orgasm. And it's up to your partner to do that for themselves.
Well, and it, you know, just to tag on there a little bit, orgasm, we sometimes see orgasm as the achievement, right? Oh, yeah. I orgasm, or she orgasm, right? And when we make the orgasm the focus of the sexual experience, I think that we do ourselves a disservice, because it's the whole experience. It's the, you know, the full body experience of being present. And like, there's so much more pleasure to be had in a sexual experience than just the orgasm. And if we're training ourselves to just get to that, you know, 15 seconds or whatever of high pleasure, you know, we're really missing out on the things like connection, depth, intimacy, and just the juiciness of the sexual experience all together.
Hey, we guys, we got to measure everything, right? We got to measure up dick sizes. We got to measure how many times she has an orgasm. Everything is going to be measured, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
One thing I want to say before we wrap up is, you know, a mature woman will not view size as the only thing that can give them pleasure. Even if size is important to them, a mature woman will not shame you.
That's the right there. The
mature woman. No, okay. Woman,
yeah.
Yeah. I like that. Okay. So guys, if you're in a situation where she's mature, doesn't have sexual trauma or something like that, but size matters to her, and then she says, you know, we're not, you know, you're not big enough for me or compatible for me, what do we do? I mean, if the relationship is going well, but that aspect of the relationship is where it's, you know, like it just doesn't meet your each other's needs, right? So she's told you you're not big enough, and then that hurt you. And what happens? What do you do?
Well, I mean, I guess I would say, if that's what really matters to her, then go find that someplace, you know. But I'm not interested in being with a woman who, you know, A, would have that kind of mentality. Because, you know, again, it's like me not accepting something about her body. You know, me saying, well, you know, I can actually only feel connected to a woman who's a size one, who has, you know, giant breasts and, you know, has a cute little ass kind of thing. Okay, maybe there's some truth in that, but there's also some like thing of like my own hangups of why is it that that's what's important to me? Again, she doesn't need your dick to get off. So I guess the thing I would say, if that's the deal breaker for her, okay, well,
bye. It's a tough one, isn't it? Because, yeah, you know, if you guys are getting on well, and then it's just that part, and then I guess it'd be really hard to continue knowing the fact that, you know, you don't measure up to the fact. You know, I don't think I could go into the relationship, you know, knowing that, hey, you know, we'll work through it. I'd be like, no, I'm not. I don't know. Maybe I'm not secure enough for that part, but it's hard.
I don't think you need to work through it if it's clearly important to the woman, and you've got to have self-respect and be a good ender.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I appreciate this little conversation that we've had. I think we've made an enormous contribution.
Here we go. Here's the puns now. It was hard hitting for all of us.
we've coined penis headache as a new diagnosis.
Yeah.
thanks again for being part of the Nice Guys Show. Please, if you're watching this on YouTube, remember to like and subscribe. If you're listening to us on your favorite podcast platform, make sure to subscribe there as well. Go to niceguysshow.com to get on the mailing list. And if you like this one, check out our recent podcast, Men Who Send Dick Pics Don't Understand Women. All right. Thanks for joining us today, and we'll see you next time.
You've been listening to The Nice Guy Show with certified Nice Guy Recovery Coaches, Ari Graf, Chuck Chapman, and Faisal Kokar. Be sure to subscribe to this channel so you can listen to our latest episodes, and visit us on www.theniceguyshow.com. If you have any topics you'd like to hear us discuss, send us an email at support@theniceguyshow.com. Thanks for listening.